Hello. Hello, hello. Now I'm a bobby on the beat. You can tell by my pointed hat and the size of my flat feet as I walk around the street. Now I'm a naughty rabbit. If I see something nice, I'll grab it. Oh, it's not because I want it or it's got my name upon it. Oh, it's just a naughty habit. Hello there. What's all this ear, in that bag there? Oh, just a few things I've knocked off, like a TV set, a fishing net, a lovely chiming clock, a string of pearls, some walnut whirls, a Scotsman's woolly sock, a set of tools, some plastic jewels, and a worn-out pair of jeans, a new guitar, some bits of car, and one large plate of beans. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, I was channeling there my favourite episode of my childhood favourite programme, Henry's Cat. And what it was about was an episode where Henry's Cat and his best friend, Chris Rabbit, have to come up with jingles to sell various things. And they come up with an idea for No Crime Day, because Mrs. Thatcher gets in touch with them and asks them to come up with a way of reducing crime. And their jingle is a National No Crime Day, and that song is part of that jingle. Now, there was a certain naivety to the video, because, of course, it assumes that the policeman is an honest guy who upholds the law, and then there's this contrast with Chris Rabbit, who is Bill the Burglar, the naughty thief, who breaks the law. That was how we were brought up in those days. I was always told as a child, if you ever have a problem, go and see a policeman. If you ever get lost, go and find a policeman. But now we know that you probably shouldn't do that, because if you're Sarah Everard and you're crossing Clapham Common in the dark late at night and you go and find a policeman, then that policeman uses his policeman authority to abduct you, sexually assault you and murder you. So there is increasing corruption in the British police force. And in today's episode of The Jolly Heretic, I want to look at why that is the case. But before we do that, a quick word from our sponsor.
Before we start, I'd just like to say a word about our sponsor, and that is Atlas VPN. Now, here's the situation, chaps. We are all truth seekers here at the Jolly Heretic Public House. We all want to know the truth about the world, and the only way we can do that is if we get lots of different perspectives, lots of alternative perspectives. And we are in a situation where we cannot get that. The internet is censored, everything is censored, and we literally cannot get the other side with regard to certain important events that are happening in the world because of the way that they censor the internet. So the only thing to do, as far as I'm concerned, is to use a VPN. And Atlas VPN is currently running a huge discount. It means you can get a 3-month subscription for just $1.83 a month, plus 3 months for free, with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And so time is running out, so it's worth looking into, really. There's lots and lots of benefits to this. Not only is that you've got that deal, but you could unlock your favourite content from all over the world. You know, shows from friends or whatever it is you like are using Atlas VPN. You can keep your Google searches private. They make sure that your results aren't tracked and so forth. You can stop ads and malware. It's more than just a VPN. It blocks malicious links and ads and so forth. And it notifies you when someone's trying to steal your data. And you can save money online. It notifies you of the best deals. And it can protect unlimited devices. So it seems to be a jolly good idea. And as I say, they've currently got this campaign where it's just $1.83 a month. So, you know, it's worth thinking about. $1.83 a month for a 3-year subscription, plus 3 months for free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Time is running out, so, you know, it's certainly worth looking into. So as a person that is in favour of the truth and wants as much as many different perspectives as possible and is finding these blocked by our current system, I think getting a VPN is worth doing. And as far as I can see, Atlas VPN is where it's at, chaps.
Okay, I changed my shirt back and let's look at that. Now, I'd like to apologise, first of all, for the nature of my voice. I picked up something awful when I was at the Traditional Britain Conference at the weekend, probably Corona. God, it's a sore throat as it's going on. So my most violent apologies if anything was off. But let's have a look then at the growing corruption in the British police force and why it is the case. In 2015 alone, there were 3,000 allegations made of police corruption.
At the same time, there is strong evidence that the police themselves are engaging in a crackdown on whistleblowers, i.e. the British police are so culturally corrupt that they do something to essentially drive out those people who are not corrupt, or at least who are not prepared to be passively corrupt, who are not prepared to turn a blind eye. According to the Inspector of Her Majesty's Constabulary, who interviewed 17,200 people, in 2015, the majority of officers fear that there would be serious consequences for themselves personally and for their careers if they were to report corruption. So this is telling you that the British police is corrupt and the average British police officer should not be trusted. According to the Serious Organised Crime Agency, they found that between 2010 and 2015, there was a sharp increase in evidence of corrupt behaviour on the part of British police officers. And this included British police officers dealing heroin, British police officers dealing cocaine, British police officers dealing amphetamines, and British police officers, such as Wayne Cousins, abusing their power for sexual gratification. Between 2013 and 2015, the Metropolitan Police, that is the police that it controls London, suspended 73 officers on various charges such as drug dealing, bribery, theft, sexual abuse, and worst of all, disclosure of private information. Imagine that. Imagine being able to basically bribe a police officer to disclose information about somebody that is private. 11 of these cases were convicted, and a freedom of information request found that the others were dropped or whatever, and they wouldn't give any further information. So presumably these people were moved, or these people were forced to retire, presumably on a full pension, which is massive if you're a policeman, or whatever, that it was basically covered up. Now, this kind of stuff barely makes the newspapers, or if it does make the newspapers, it doesn't make the front page. It's not considered major. We are so used to the British police force being corrupt that we just accept it. It doesn't matter. In 1970, it made the front page of the Times, and it was a huge news story. London police officers in bribery allegations. It was incredible. This was like considered the downfall of Scotland Yard. And what had been found from a whistleblower who'd been recording people using tapes was evidence of the police planting evidence, evidence of the police taking backhanders from criminals to overlook what they were doing. The obscene publication squad was basically taking tithes from illegal pornographers so that they could run their illegal porn businesses. The obscene publication squad was taking backhanders from the owners of illegal nightclubs and brothels so that they could keep going. And this had been going on for years. The dangerous drug squad was basically running a cannabis racket in which they were selling drugs. They were taking drugs in return for not prosecuting them or whatever, or turning a blind eye, from these drug dealers, and they were dealing these drugs themselves, and they were making money out of it. And this, remember, is a police force that is well paid. Police officers are in Britain, I don't know about America, but in Britain they are extremely well paid. They are very well paid. So they don't need bribes. They don't need extra money. They just wanted it because they're greedy. There was another case of at that time, it was because of the whistleblowing, it was because of whistleblowers that this was able to be stopped. So basically you had the majority of officers who were reasonably honest kind of people. You had a small number of corrupt individuals, and whistleblowing was encouraged in the police force. Police officers felt they were able to engage in whistleblowing, and therefore this dishonesty was brought down. Now, what is it that's changed now? Why is it that we have become so much more corrupt now in the British police force than used to be the case? Well, the first obvious answer is simply, as you would expect me to say, is the matter of average IQ. The average IQ of a police officer is about 100. The police officers that move up to the higher ranks will tend to be a little bit higher. Average IQ, about 100. Now, there's a degree to which this is perhaps a good thing, because it means that we police by consent in the UK, or at least we used to, and police officers are, you know, they're therefore kind of the average of the people whom they police. And in days of yore, these people were not inculcated with wokeness or whatever. They were inculcated with the worldview of society, which was this group-oriented sort of worldview, and this religious worldview, this Christian worldview, which sanctified the truth as the will of God, which sanctified the idea that this is God's revelation, and to lie about it is blasphemous, and all of these kinds of ideas. And so those were the average people, and they tended to be police officers. Now the problem is that we are losing IQ points. We are losing something like 1.5 IQ points per decade, which means that the person who has an IQ of 100 now is not the same as a person that had an IQ of 100 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, or certainly 50 years ago. They are quite different people. We're talking a difference of 5 or more IQ points across a period like this. And this is going to have a significant difference, because IQ is associated with being low IQ is associated with being selfish. It's associated with poor time horizons. It's associated with impulsivity. It's associated with low altruism. It's associated with low civic values. It's associated with basically being open to corruption. It's associated with criminality. It's associated with all of these negative traits. And so it makes sense that as the average IQ of society goes down, if the average IQ of the average police officer is held constant, then the police simply must become more corrupt. They will become more corrupt because, they're getting stupider. Society is getting stupider. Their IQ is staying the same, and so they will become increasingly corrupt. That is the first reason for the rise in police corruption in the UK. The second reason is a problem that is basically implicit in meritocracy. Increasingly, we have basically a society that is cognitively stratified, and a society where everything is done to ensure that people from poor backgrounds are able to reach their full potential. That if a person who is born by genetic chance into a working class background is capable of becoming a lawyer or a doctor, then a great deal is done to ensure that he or she can do so. Now, this was not the case a few generations ago at all. And so what you would get would be people that were born into a working class background that would be intellectually capable of, let's say, being a lawyer or a doctor. But this simply would be impossible. It would be financially impossible. And they would have this sense of being working class. They would have this sense that it was beyond them. There would be this poverty of expectation. And therefore, those people that were intelligent enough to be lawyers or doctors, but were born into the working class or lower middle class, would perhaps become policemen. And so this fact of society being less cognitively stratified would mean that you could get some very, very intelligent people who would become policemen and who would rise to the top of the police force. And they'd be perfectly capable of being barristers or judges, but they were born into the lower class. And so this, of course, would mean that there would be less of a culture of corruption, because there would simply be more, that the officers would be more intelligent for that reason alone, and those in leading positions would also be more intelligent. The third reason is that we have this culture, this woke ideology, which has infested the police force, and which puts, since Tony Blair and his anti-freedom government removed the traditional way of doing things in favour of woke dogmas and whatever being at the centre of everything. Now, this has had two effects. First of all, on who it is that is in charge of the police. Now, it used to be that the people that were in charge of the police had made their way through the ranks from being constables, bobbies on the beat, to be, you know, all the being Inspector Wexford types, all the way up to being chief inspectors and whatever it happens to be. They knew the ground, they knew the system. This is not the case now. This is not how people are appointed. They're not appointed via their ability to be good policemen. Instead, you have people that go to university and do the most woke, ideologically oriented left-wing subjects, the subjects that are the most infested by woke ideas, are things like sociology and criminology. And then those, and also relatively low IQ subjects as well. We have the IQs of people that do different subjects. So, you know, there aren't very intelligent people that do sociology and criminology. And those people then have a feeling that you have this kind of elite overpromotion effect. Those people in the old days, when they wouldn't have had degrees, they would have had a certain kind of humility, a certain feeling that they were not of the intellectual higher class, a certain feeling that they should sort of kowtow to their betters and think a bit about whether they really knew what they were talking about. Now, if you give people like this degrees, then you're making them think that they're part of the intellectual elite. You're making them think that they are highly intelligent. You're making them think that they are elite and they are important. So you give them these degrees, you give them this sense of self-importance. On some level, they may well feel that they're not that bright. But anyway, and you fast track them through the police experience, and you basically make them into managers. And so what those people are going to do is top-down impose this corruption, is top-down impose this woke culture, which encourages people to put everything beneath wokeism, to institute non-crime incidents, which is utterly corrupt in itself, because the police are about upholding the law, not about investigating non-crime incidents. Surely, if you haven't committed a crime, then this shouldn't be an issue. But then they impose that ideology from on high, and we've got to think about the kind of psychology of people that are going to do subjects like that and are going to go into the police. They are going, what is the kind of person? It's low status, even though it's well paid, it's low status to be a police officer. So there must be a degree, people look down on them. So there must be a degree to which if you go to a university and you do a degree in sociology or criminology, and then you become which would imply, you know, that you're going to be basically inculcated with wokeism, and would imply that you are basically a midwit, that you are a kind of 115 IQ sort of person, then you will have imbibed the current ideology, but you will have a sort of sense of intellectual inferiority, and you will have a dim awareness that other people are cleverer than you. And so one of the ways that you can deal with this is by saying to yourself, well, I'm not very clever, but at least I'm highly moral. And that makes me superior to other people because I'm sort of highly moral. I'm better than them in that way. And so therefore you can deal with it by becoming sort of super woke. And then when you get into this position of power, you can woke signal and you can virtue signal and you can kind of impose your authority from on high in order to compensate for your own feelings of intellectual inferiority and whatever it happens to be. And so this helps to corrupt the entire system and put wokeism above everything else. Now, once you've done that, then we've got to look at the kind of people that are becoming police officers. These are people with an IQ of about 100. They must know. I mean, they will have done relatively badly at school. They must know that it's quite in a way that the midwits didn't. So they must know that they're not very bright. And in some cases, one of the ways that you could compensate for that, again, it's kind of like the Methodist preacher of the 19th century who's a coal miner. One of the ways that you compensate for it is by saying, oh, well, I'm not that bright, but I'm more moral than everybody else. I'm superior in that way. And therefore, you persuade yourself that you are super woke, that you really believe it, and therefore you're better than other people, and therefore you take the knee in front of Downing Street or whatever as a way of dealing with your own intellectual insecurities. And so this again means that on the basis of the everyday constable, then you convince you deal with your own feelings of inferiority about being stupid by going way beyond what you're allowed to do, by pushing your weight around, by going beyond what the law allows you to do, by believing that you know more about the nature of the law than you really do, by trying to persuade yourself of your own knowledge and intelligence, by trying to persuade yourself of your own abilities, as you see with this case in Cheshire of these officers that went way beyond what they were legally allowed to do, and did so essentially on woke grounds, saying that, oh, this was a public order offence or whatever. They had no idea what they were talking about. But I suspect they had dealt with their own feelings of inferiority by telling themselves that they knew a great deal about what they were doing. They had dealt with their own feelings of inferiority, you know, by becoming offended and triggered by someone confronting them with what they were, which was fairly useless, which meant that they got angry and went beyond what they had the legal right to do. And also by being more woke than the last man, because they had been inculcated with the view that being woke is good, and they were sufficiently unintelligent to think that, oh, well, then more woke is better, and not understanding the limits of the law in this regard. And so all of these things come together to create an extremely corrupt system. Now, in 2022, you had a situation where you have a it was revealed that the Met Police had employed 100 people who had criminal connections or criminal convictions to work for them. That they were putting private information, you know, important information about keys and things, written on fridges. All kinds of insanity. So this shows you just how much it's collapsed. And the head of the Metropolitan Police was fired by the Mayor of London because he no longer had confidence in her. Of course he didn't have confidence in her. She wasn't appointed because she was good. She was appointed because she was a woman. She was appointed because of her sexual orientation. And she was appointed presumably because she had a degree. She wasn't appointed because she was a good, experienced police officer. And so this brings about the gradual collapse in public trust in the police. And particularly the Wayne Cousins case. It's just concrete evidence of how corrupt the police have become. Now, we always used to joke. I remember once being at a place in Winchester, in a kebab shop late at night, and it was full of police officers. And I worked out that they got a discount for being, as police officers, they were given a very significant discount at that particular restaurant. Why? Obviously, it's corruption. It's the restaurant was probably running drugs or something like that, and it was a way of ensuring that the police overlooked it, turned a blind eye, keep on the right side of the police. Any corrupt businessman will do the same. And what we would expect is to find this more and more and more as society collapses and therefore the rise of private security. So the hello, 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 I'm Bobby on the beat will be very much a thing of the past.
Hello, hello, hello. The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House. And I will see you all soon. And goodbye!